Okay, we've gone live. We've got Wayne coming on very soon. We've got two intros. First off, we're just doing this thing. I just took a drone of where we are. We're on the road to Wiluna from Meekatharra. See if you can find us in this picture. Don't know what happened to the sound there. As usual, a few technical hitches. Now, I asked Wayne Kenneth Glue how to introduce him. So, common law, professional, sovereign citizen. He said no. He wanted this introduction, which I adore. He wants to be introduced as one of the 27 million people in Australia who give a shit about his country. G'day, Wayne. I'm the second one.
G'day.
It's good to meet you. Let's jump right in. Before COVID, what were you doing? Before you'd heard of any of this stuff, and what were you doing in this country?
I was actually, after I got out of the police force in 1992, I was pretty well crippled for a long time because of an accident. But I pushed myself until I got on my feet. And then I'd been studying the Constitution for 50-odd years. So I looked at all the law and I thought, what a load of garbage. Where's all the common law in this? Who said they can claim to be a government when they're only a parliament? And so I went after them. I got in, bogged down, and got stuck into the councils. Eventually, in 2019, I defeated them in the court here. But they'd already sold my property prior to that. But who cares? You know, if you value your land, you're going to lose it anyway. You're better off valuing the principle, which is what I did. So I went after it then, and I started teaching the Constitution all over Australia, in Tasmania, because people wanted to hear what the Constitution says.
And before I know you go on,
before
you go on, we hear two things about the Constitution. The thing we heard from most of us who woken up in the COVID time was that in the 1970s, say 73, Gough Whitlam and Bob Hawke and others sort of change the Constitution without having a referendum. Now, is that correct?
Can you give me the green light? Yeah. They actually produced another one in 1988 after they decided they would have a constitutional convention. So how does a parliament calling itself a government decide that it can have a constitutional convention without the people who own the Constitution?
Mm.
That's it. And they come up with this, the green, what I call the mucus constitution, because that's about its value. It is copyrighted to the political parties. So I thought, well, I'll play games with you. I can do that. So I used Clause 61 of Magna Carta, and I seized the three lawful tiers of the federal parliament because they weren't being used. They created the Australian government. And I'll come back to that because it's a very interesting thing. When I started pushing him real hard, Clown McGowan had me charged with an absolute garbage offence. and put me before the court. I just laughed at them because they turned up here. My wife had the insight to pick up her tablet and recorded it. And here's this clown saying, oh, we got every right to come here. We got a warrant. And I said, well, give me the copy of it. So he did, and I held it up to the light, and you can see if it's been signed. I said, this hasn't been signed. He said, no. And I said, clearly it's been photocopied. He said, so? I said, do you have any evidence? He said, no. I said, what are you doing here? It's such a requirement. You've got a statement of material facts, an affidavit, and a warrant. And none of it's done and none of it's signed. This is how thick some of these people are. But you can't blame them. They're taught they can do whatever they like because they're not police.
Do they have any respect for you because you used to be in the police force? Was there any respect granted that you might know what you're talking about?
They listened. They sort of, oh, we know it all, and you, I don't care what you think you know. But by the time they'd finished dealing with me in the cop shop, was only about 2 hours, they were pretty sure I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I don't know everything about the law, and I don't know everything about the Constitution, like everybody else. It's 1,008 pages, and I'm pretty well up to about two-thirds of it, and I can recite well over a half anyway. So it doesn't matter. I can refer to it. Well, I was granted a good memory and the ability to recall what I wanted. So I use that to the advantage of the people. Yeah, lost you. You're there? Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
Now, what I said about doing is going back before Federation. This is a book on English law. And this tells you where the common law comes from. Lord Coke in the late 1500s said, God's law existed before all other law. It exists as a common law of the people from now and into the future until such time as the people remove it. We haven't removed it. No. So they've got a problem with what they're doing. Now, if you want to know what the common law is, I got one out of the Church of England. If you whack people with this and knock their sense in, this is out of the Church of England. It's one of the original big Bibles because it's easy to study. But that actually is the common law. From that, we derive this, the red one, which is our constitution. Now, most people think it's a constitution, it's a British Act, and that's all it is. That's because the Parliament has continually lied to you. What happened is Australians put the constitution together. Sir Edmund Barton took the constitution that we put together to England. Queen Victoria added 9 clauses and added the fact that we could go from any state court to the Privy Council and appeal from the High Court to the Privy Council. Now, what is that constitution? It's an act, yes, Commonwealth Constitution Act 1900 UK. Because England supposedly owns the continent as one of her or his majesty's realms, you have to have an enabling act. In law, you have to have an enabling act to be able to put a constitution in place. They're not the same thing, and you hear politicians, oh, yeah, it's the same thing. No, you're a moron. Because if you don't know that much of the law, you're a fool. The enabling act is the Commonwealth Constitution Act 1900 UK. Now, once that was put in place, it was sworn in on the 9th of July, 1900. Now, on the 9th of July, on the proclamation of the Constitution, Clause 7 knocked out the Australasian Council and the colonies, knocked them out and held them in abeyance till the 1st of January, 1901. You've got to understand what they did because they pull smoke screen over all the people. Now, for years, I was between the two, who's telling the truth and who isn't, and I went looking for the evidence. And when you come up with the evidence, you start to see Western Australia put a constitution in place with 32 sections missing, contrary to Section 106 of the Constitution. Now, on the 29th of October 1900, Queen Victoria put the Commonwealth Constitution Act in place with a letters patent, put the office of governor in place with a letters patent, put the state constitutions in place in their original text. Now, when you look at the state constitution of Western Australia, the second last paragraph in that states, we reserve unto ourselves, our heirs and successors, the right to change this constitution. But John Forrest, being a nasty little criminal, and he was, and a liar and a traitor, he decided that he would produce the Constitution Alteration Act 1899. And that was before Queen Victoria put the letters patent in place. So it's gone. Well, 6.1.9 Statute of Monopoly says only the monarch can change the letters patent. So they can't touch any of it. They then decided that they would do whatever they wanted. But by Western Australia not putting its lawful constitution in place, we only had five of the six states whose representatives created the first parliament. Did we have an original federal parliament? No, we didn't, and still don't. You cannot create. You go to Clause 8, and it says, when the colonies become states, the Boundaries Act no longer applies. However, when the Commonwealth is established, it's established as a self-governing colony of England. So where are we now? We are a colony, and that can't be changed. You can't just say, I'm going to take it off, because it wouldn't have a clue. That they know, they knew in 1988, that's why they produced this Green Constitution, to cover up what they'd done, but it backfired on them. Now, what I'm saying now is I explain, it takes me less than an hour to explain, these people at Federation, every state put in a Transfer of Land Act. Did they have authority over land? No, not before and not after. The governor of the state, on behalf of the Crown, issued all titles in their original form. That title says you own that land. You hold it in fee simple, alienated from the Crown. Was the Crown's the only person who has the authority to tax it or control it? Hang on, it's alienated from that Crown. Does the Parliament represent the Crown? No, they represent the people. And therein lies the biggest problem. So you take Western Australia out. It's never lawfully constituted. Does it exist? Yes. 107, 108, and 109 creates the states. And they draw their authority referentially from the Commonwealth Constitution. They're a subordinate parliament to the Commonwealth Constitution. So what is local government? It's on page 935 of the Constitution, the eighth line down. It says the states have the people who are in the designated area of the state, have the authority to set up municipal authorities, which is your councils, roads, boards. I know, because my father worked for them contract right up until he decided to get out of it in the mid-60s. Now, that shows my age, but don't worry about it. I was only still a spring chicken. The local government is the state parliament. Good old Labor Party, because it was Billy Hughes and all those fleas, decided they would create a state parliament and a local government. But they're the same thing. Now, when you look at page 701, 702, 703 of the Constitution, it's very clear, because first of all, it says it lays out a map of federal government, executive, legislature, and judicature, three separate arms that make up the federal government. And the states, executive, legislature, and judicature, make up the state government. But when the government claims to be sovereign, well, page 676, the last two lines on there, the first two on the next says, the parliament is not supreme, and the very essence of federation is that must not be so. They can't be supreme. The parliament is like everyone else, subject to the law and must abide by it. Now, there goes the problem from, because they're lying. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens then if are they sovereign? No. You go to page 791, the middle of the last paragraph, it says, neither the federal nor the state parliament are sovereign bodies. that only legislatures with limited authority, if they attempt to pass a law in excess of that authority, the law is a nullity and affords no obedience. So who is sovereign and supreme in this country? Well, page 286. The Supreme, I always mess this up while I wrote it down. The supreme absolute and uncontrollable authority remains with the people. Why? That's where your King James Bible comes in. Everybody says King James was a Catholic. No, he wasn't. He was a Presbyterian because he was from Scotland. And he commissioned the writing of the Bible in everyday English. Now, where does our sovereignty and supremacy come from? When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments, he gave us absolute control over our lives so we could roam free in this country or anywhere in the world as long as what we did didn't interfere with anybody else's life.
Do no harm.
Yeah, do no harm, basically exactly that. Now, when you turn around and you apply the Commonwealth Constitution Act on January 1st, 1901, because Western Australia never used its correct constitution, they didn't go in there, you only had five states. Well, in August 1902, New South Wales removed its constitution and replaced it with another one. There's two states out. They couldn't establish a federal parliament like that. Now, 1922, Queensland dropped its upper house off. Can't do it. They have no right to touch the constitutions of the states because they're letters patent. As I said, 6.1.1 says they can't change them. They can't touch them. Now, this is where it gets people starting to think for once. If they can't touch them, where they get this referendum from to put add section 129 to the Commonwealth Constitution? They can't. You cannot change the Constitution. And it turns out the Aboriginal that young gentleman.
Thomas Mayo,
turns out he's from the Philippines. And he's saying, we're going to pay rent to him, apparently. Well, that's a rumor going around. When you look at him, when I first saw him, I said to my wife, he's Middle Eastern or from some country like that, because he doesn't have the cranial structure of the Aboriginal race. I got lots of friends that are Aboriginal. I grew up with them because two of the families that were on the Rhodes Board contract company where my dad worked, they were Aboriginal, and they grew up like our brothers and sisters. In fact, I'd spend more time talking to them than I would anybody else because they're good people. Now,
I'm just reading the comments here.
I'm just reading the comment. I said, okay, I'll get back off that.
Me too, man. Yeah, no worries.
The Constitution. Now, this little book is a government book printed in 1986, and it reveals a lot of things. Now, when you look at Clause 5 of the Constitution, it gets really interesting. Because this is where you can see the distinction in need to get it. It's okay, I'll be there in a tick.
All right.
The distinction, who is there two constitution? Yes. Well, this is paragraph 5 of the Australia Act, 1986. It says Commonwealth Constitution, Constitution Act, and Statute of Westminster, not affected by this act. There goes the Australia Act out the door. Because if it's not affected, everything they've done in here affects it, especially when you look at an act to bring constitutional arrangement affecting the Commonwealth and the states into conformity with the status of the Commonwealth of Australia as a sovereign, independent, federal nation. If that was the case, why wasn't that in the act that Bob Hawke took to England? It's still not on their act. Because he knows he would have been arrested and charged with treason. That's why. He stole one of Her Majesty's realms. Now, that's not all he did. I caught him out on a lot of things. Everybody says there's a Queen of Australia. We don't know who she is. Yeah, you do. I've got it right here. This will make you laugh because when you see who the Queen of Australia actually is, it'll make you laugh.
You're right, Larry. I don't.
Letters patent relating to the office of Governor General of the Commonwealth of Australia. Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, Queen of Australia and other realms and territories, head of the Commonwealth. Then it goes into the letters patent, which is very similar to the letters patent issued by Queen Victoria on the 29th of October 1900, putting in the Governor General. But that was reciprocating, so we didn't need this. Now, how does it prove Bob Hawke is the Queen of Australia? It says, given at our court at Balmoral on the 21st of August 1984, while he was still in Australia, by Her Majesty's command, Bob Hawke, Prime Minister. What does that tell you? Bob Hawke is Her Majesty, Queen of Australia. It's all here in their little book they produced. Pack of fools, they can't even read English.
Bob Hawke anyway, is the Queen of Australia.
He was Queen of Australia. Then Kevin Rudd came that when he died. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, but I don't want to dwell on any one thing.
Wayne, before we go on, do you think a lot of this has managed to happen because for decades now, we haven't given a shit about politics and we've had a she'll be right attitude. So all this has happened in the background without us even realizing until now, where suddenly our freedoms are literally being taken away and suddenly we're waking up.
Is that they've taken away, and I can tell you why. The reason they're taken away because this country no longer uses its constitution, either of them, the green one as well.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at page 346, it says, not all enactments of the Parliament are valid, only those passed pursuant to, in accordance with, and under the authority granted by the constitution, and those laws only are binding on the courts, judges, and people of every state. All other laws are void. They don't exist. So if how that is proved, I always refer to HCA 39 and 1915 at paragraph 148. So Samuel Griffiths said, here you find section 106 binds the state constitution and all laws made pursuant to it to the overriding authority of the Commonwealth Constitution. So that means that the state parliament and their constitution, whether you call it state or local, is a subordinate parliament to the federal parliament. But if you don't have a federal parliament, subordinate to what? It doesn't exist either. The constitution stands because it says, humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God, we the people of New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia, Western Australia, join together in one indissoluble federation of the Commonwealth of Australia, meaning no one in this country can dissolve the constitution or alter it or change it. Now, how do you alter? And that refers to the act and the constitution. The power of alteration under 128 is all you are granted. You cannot change the constitution. Not one letter. It was said of one of the senators who didn't stay in federal parliament long, you can't change one letter in the constitution. You change one letter and you committed treason. So they can't touch it. When the High Court referred to the Australia Acts, it lied because the Australia Act was made pursuant to section 51, subsection 38. The reason I'm bringing that up, because
how
it adds
did they
another
get away with that one. How did Gough Whitlam and Gough Hawke and all
those? Smoke, mirrors, and lies. He just did it all behind our back. See, yeah. Everybody's running around saying they're all corporations. No, they're not. There's a corporation of the Commonwealth of Australia Proprietary Limited, registered on the US Securities Exchange Commission with the number 00008051 57. That's a corporation. Under that, excuse me, is the Commonwealth of Australia Trading Company, LLC, registered in Delaware, District of Columbia, in the state of New York. Now, you got to understand what they did then. They took every public utility, everything we own, and registered in Delaware under the trading company, and then found they couldn't come back into Australia. Now, the reason they couldn't come back into Australia, because they're not lawfully registered. So they look up an American Act 1938, FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act of America. From that, they produced foreign agent government entities and listed all the things they'd stolen from this country as foreign agent government entities. But they couldn't register them as an ACN company. They could only register them as a business owned by the political parties, which who has control of them. Now, that creates a huge problem because the only way to come back in Australia is under the Corporations Act, which they did. They came back in as foreign foreign agent government entities. Can you get me some more of that stuff? Thanks. And when they came in here, they had to do it under Section 51, subsection 20 of the Constitution, which allows foreign companies to come in here and trade. It's all right. My wife's got some go juice from your throat and gets to itch your... It's lemon, ginger and honey. It's not grog. I don't drink. So what they did is they brought them in here. When they came here, they had to register under the 2009 they're a government entity anyway, but they are registered here under Fair Work Australia 2009, that's the one, which makes them trading companies. If you want to check that, the High Court inadvertently ruled for Queensland Rail HCA 15 of 2011 that if you've got an ABN number, you provide services for money, you're a trading company. So they're not a corporation, they're a trading company with an ABN.
Wow.
Now, where they are caught out in American law, which allows us to go into the US Department of Justice as a alien litigator and deal with the issue on papers, if you can prove it on paper, that's when it starts to get up their nose, because to trade in this country as a foreign agent government entity, you have to produce a certificate of transparency to every court or every person you exercise authority over. And then you've got to prove where in the Constitution you ever had the authority to come into the country and operate under a federal law and then come into the state and exercise any kind of authority. You didn't. Now, what they did when they went into Section 51, Subsection 38 to create the Australia Act, this is when they played smoke and mirrors, and they said, because that says with the conferral of parliaments of all the states, the parliament can exercise authority it had at federation, but they weren't created. But even if they were created, they wouldn't have been created until the end of 1901, because they had to create the state parliaments first. So they weren't created. Now, Quick and Garran says there isn't any authority because of the provisions of Clause 7, which wipe out the Australasian Council and all their laws, a whole lot. So there goes your Transfer of Land Act, and then their Constitution Alterations Act and the Police Act 1892. It's gone, finished. Now, they have a huge problem with what I've just said, because Quick and Garran said there weren't any authorities. Then they said clearly, even if that wasn't so, there was only 7 legislative areas ever exercisable by the Australasian Council, and even less by the colonies, and all 7 are produced in Section 51 of this Constitution. And when I first went to court, I said, if that's the case, and it is, and you know it, yeah, we know it is, where is the authority over our land? Oh, they've got plenary powers. No, plenary powers is full and complete power. The dictionary says so. So does the law. Where did they get it from? We didn't give it to them. Because the Constitution doesn't give the Parliament unfettered law. It gives them the authority to create laws for the good governance and well-being of the people. For them, not over them. And when you understand that concept, which is the truth of the Constitution is a restraint put there by the people to control our parliament. Why? Because the people are sovereign and supreme. So we have the ability. So when you look at the Constitution and you look at the fact of an authority isn't granted, it's denied and remains with the people. That's chapter two. That knocks out the whole lot of it. Because all the issues in relation to local government is just an outright lie, like the 1988 referendum. Do you approve the continuance of local government? We said no. Do you approve this establishment? We said no. So why are they still here? Because we've got belligerent fools for politicians who think they have the right to ignore the will of the people. That's all it is. Just a lie, just a joke put together by treasonous, arrogant people. I've tried to talk to them.
Can I explain just the thing? And the courts are under the same belief, or like the courts haven't realized this either, or do the high court know? Do the high court judges know?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Okay.
I was going to come to that because what happened...
Cool. You go at your own pace, mate.
On the 10th of February last year, when they arrested me and took me down the cop shop, outside the cop shop, said, before you can go in, you've got to put a mask on. I said, that's nice, I'm not going then. You can't do that, so I can do what I like. And you are still a liar. You can't make me. And when I got to the door, the guy said, put a mask on and you don't come in. I said, well, you make up the mind, you two, because I'm not putting one on, and neither of you are capable of making me, and it's not going to happen. So where do we go from here? No, we get in here. So I went in there, and they got real smart then and carried on. I said, do whatever you like. You want my fingerprints? You've already got them on record. You lied to the people when you applied to go on the police force. You photograph us, you fingerprint us, and you get our DNA and lie and say, oh, you've got to give it now. Well, you can have it again if you want. If that makes you happy, have it. I don't care. I said, but when you finish, because you know I was injured in an accident in the police force or after work, but I was still there, you have to take me home. Now we'll see about that. Whatever you want to do. They took me home anyway, or they were going to, until my friend came along and picked me up. But at the end of the day, these people have no jurisdiction over land unless it's in the Constitution. It's not there. So these acts that Dodgy Roger Cook put in don't exist. It's made in excess of the authority granted. It's pro tanto invalid. That's the words of Sir Samuel Griffiths. And he's one of the people who wrote the Constitution. Now, if they have no authority to pass laws in relation to our land, the Aboriginal Heritage Act, regardless of what anyone thinks, they know that I think we need to respect their sacred sites, just like they have to respect ours.
Yeah.
And the elders get the little blokes who wreck the graveyards and give them a good kick in the butt, and they discipline them. We need to do the same if someone tramples all over the Aboriginal sacred sites. But where are they? Were they the first inhabitants of this country? No. The Egyptians were. There's Egyptian hieroglyphics in the caves. Now, if that's the case, and it is, and near Gympie in Queensland, there's a pyramid. How you like that? And north of Port Augusta, there's a pyramid. There's other pyramids in this country. So, and then after them, there's the Celtic race were here. And if you go to the northwest of Western Australia and have a look up there, there's a big Celtic oval sign up there. It's in a picture on the wall of the immigration department in Indonesia. I said, I pointed out to my wife. But then when you go to Kalgoorlie, there's two, if you go from Wiluna, go through Kalgoorlie, go to the courthouse. There's an old courthouse, and behind it there's a new one. In between, there's a foyer with some of these Celtic ring singles there. But we know after them came the Vikings and several other races of people. So, and then the Pygmy people, which are called Negritos, and they're still here in different places. Some of my friends who are Aboriginal said, we know where they are because little buggers, we all camped out one night, woke up in the morning, they're standing in the bush looking at us, so we packed up and took off. I said, why'd you do that? He said, well, we could end up in the menu. Just kidding, that was just a joke. But, you know, the issue is we were born here. I can't chop myself up into about 10 bits, which would take to put me where all my ancestors come from. But my relatives didn't come here as criminals. You know, they came into Victoria to make bricks, and embossed in the bricks is glue. Now, Charles Yelverton and O'Connor is my great-great-great-grandma Richard's brother. They come into Albury Wodonga. They come over here, and he designed the Fremantle Harbour and the Mundaring Weir and all that. That means nothing. It just means he's one of the people who put this country together. So it isn't really, this is not me saying, and I hate it when people say, oh, you're my idol, you know, and all this. I'm not. As I said, I'm one of the 27 million people in this country. That's all I am. But I'm doing something for my country, and I'm trying to encourage people, wake up, get off your butt, and get out there and do it. You know, there is no claim on the land by any parliament and by any other people outside of there. If they have a claim in relation to sacred sites, yes, they were here before us. About 550, 600 years that I can work out. Could be a few years, but, you know, I was talking to some people the other day. I said, do you know who Vasco da Gama is? Do you know who William Dampier is? Or Dirk Hartog? 90% of the people you ask wouldn't have a clue. That is our history. They discovered this country long before these so-called Indigenous people came here. I'm not knocking them. I still say they've got a claim for their sacred sites. We've got to give it to them. If they've got a section of land...
You're saying that the Indigenous haven't been here 40,000 years? Is that what you're claiming?
The country hasn't been here 40,000 years. The Egyptians were here about 6,000 years ago, and they were here before them. So you've got to look at it from this point of view. If they were here and the Egyptians built pyramids, which are there, you can check it out. You go Google it and you'll come up. Now, if they did, how did they regress back to living in a bark hut with spears to catch food? Come on. You can't go backwards, especially when I know a lot of them, they're highly intelligent. My mate runs a traffic control company. He's one of three for Aboriginal people. And those people work hard, earn money, own their houses, and do everything you would expect them to do if they want to get ahead. And one of my best friends lives down at the river mouth here. He's worked all his life. He owns his house, lives down there right near the beach. And he kicked his sons out and said, get out and get a job and earn your own money and buy yourself a house. And they all did. I reckon that's a fantastic thing, and it should keep going. We need to encourage them. Instead, we've done everything but that. The 1967 referendum gave them everything that we had. How come they don't have it? How come they don't have the ability or the way of dealing and getting all these things that we got? Where's their schools in their communities? Where's their medical center in their communities? Oh, it costs too much. Well, take all the pensions off these people that call themselves the government, which are only a parliament. When you look at Chapter 2 of the Constitution, they only get paid for the time they sit. Somebody disagrees on the history. I don't care. Sorry, I've checked mine.
I don't disagree. I have difficulty with that bit of it too, to be honest. But this is a channel of free speech, so I'm going to let you keep having your say. That's what it's about. We've got to hear things that we might not like. That's what free speech is, right? You've got a right to say this, and at some point we've got a right to disagree. I don't have the evidence myself to go forward, except anyway. But I want to hear, so please keep talking.
All right. Now, Ernie Dingo was filming with a getaway outdoors with one of those mob. And he went into some caves up north. They started filming in the front of there. Now, Ernie is an Aboriginal. He's pro-Aboriginal more than white people. When they started when they started going through there and filming all the thing, he stopped them. He said, you cannot go any further. They are paintings from the people who were here before. And those paintings are, to my knowledge, I was told they are hieroglyphics, which is their writings. Now, someone just put up the aliens. Yeah, right. Yeah, put up there. I don't care if you disagree. Go and do some research. You'll find out that what I'm saying is correct.
Can we just for a second, though, just for this show, because, you know, there's going to be all different beliefs on this and a lot of people are going to struggle with that, but actually get back to what we're facing now in this country, because whether the Egyptians were here first, whether the indigenous were here first, that's not going to change the fact that our freedoms right now are under attack. I mean, basically, if the government passes this misinformation, disinformation bill, which they will, this conversation on this platform will not exist next year. And so we're sort of focused on the current problem now. And you're saying constitutionally that could be stopped because they do not have the power to do it.
That's correct. There was no authority ever granted to a parliament over land in this country.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. They can't argue their way out of that. So neither the voice giving them authority over the land and the parliament and changing the constitution, nor the act in Western Australia has any authority to exist. If it does, show me in the constitution and I'll come back on here and say I was wrong because the constitution says it. No, the constitution grants certain things to the parliament. Outside that, they have none.
Mm. So how can we use the constitution to stop this? Because the courts seem to have scant regard for it. And then that comes to the High Court, because I'm great mates with suspended Dr. William Bay, and he's had an appeal approved with the full High Court, and he's challenging the authority of APRA, saying they're an illegal setup and they don't have the power they're having. So he's going to the High Court with that. How can we change things around or stop what's happening using our own constitution?
Very, very simple. When you go to court, challenge the jurisdiction on the court, of the court, and use Section 40 of the Judiciary Act to move it into the High Court, which is your right on the Form 17. I did it 17 times, and they kept rejecting it and refusing to hear what I put. So what I did then is I sent a lawful notice of requirement to the High Court to state what oath they took to become Justice of the High Court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they refused to answer it. So then I went back and I looked at their decisions. It has the word quorum in front of it. A quorum is an unelected judge, a person impersonating a judge who isn't one. So we don't have any judges in the High Court. Now, how did that come about? 1979, the nice Labor Party passed a law. At the same time, they added local government to the state constitutions without the people or any authority whatsoever. They passed a law controlling the High Court, and it's there. Now, just by chance, I was reading the Judiciary Act, and I got down the bottom of it because I usually just look at the sections I want and then use that. Now, the big problem they had with that is in 1970, they passed the Parliamentary Permissions Act, basically. It's not called that. It's Authority Act or whatever. That's the one that when Cullerton put that case to the Senate, that is the one they used and said the Parliament has a committee which makes the rules for the High Court. And they pass it using that act in the Judiciary Act, which of course doesn't exist, because where is the separation of powers demanded of the Constitution between Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, which is the executive, which is the legislature to the judicature? There's none. So they fractured federation by doing that and overturned the Constitution, which resulted in some person approaching me and wanting to know how to deal up a warrant. So I did up a warrant sent to him, and next thing I find it's served on the police to arrest McGowan because he committed an act of treachery and overturned the Constitution. They have every lawful right to do it because it was a warrant, had an affidavit, had a material statement of facts. The requirements, now if you look at Dillon versus Plenty, paragraph 4, 5, 6 and 7 says, lays out how you get a warrant. There it is. Exactly that same way. So the police just ignored it. It said it's a fraudulent warrant. They said I appointed myself as as a Commonwealth public official. So when I went in the court the second time, I went in front of Angus Hockton, and he was an English barrister before he came here as a magistrate. I held a document. I said, would you like to have a look at this? He said, what's that? I said, it's my lawful appointment as a Commonwealth public official through the Court of Faculties England. And I said, so when the police, these two here, filed their documents into this court and said I appointed myself, they lied to the court. Where's the evidence that I did it myself? This document says I don't. Would you like to have a copy? He said, I can see the document. And he says, I know it's correct. And I said, then we've got another problem. He said, what's that? And I said, Section 41, Subsection 1, the Criminal Investigation Act of Western Australia states clearly only a police officer or a public officer can issue a warrant under this section. He said, yes. I said, Sydney City Council versus Reid, Justice Kirby ruled that the CDPP are public officers, means they're creatures of statute, can never be considered officers of the Crown. And he just said, go on. I said, so if I walk over and smack one of these cops in the mouth, you're going to charge me with assaulting a public officer, aren't you? He said, yes. I said, well, why are they doing here in a police uniform with a badge on when they're public officers and not police officers? They're creatures of statute. He said, your bail bond's at the door, take it and leave. I said, thank you. Just prove the point. Now,
can I went ask, through the whole... Just for a sec, Wayne, just to, because it's a lot to take in. And we're going to another show after this. So I'm hoping we can get you back on so we don't have to race it all out in one thing. Because I have a few questions, but I really wanted to hear what you're saying in the time we have. And what you're stating is what we felt. Are we lawless at the moment? Are they just making the laws up as they want? And
no, we're sitting under common law. They are the lawless ones. What I did in 2017... No,
that's me. They're lawless. So, but the country has basically been run lawlessly at the moment, and common law has been ignored
by trading companies. Yeah, so if that's lawless, that's exactly it. So they're just lying about it now.
Yeah.
Now, what stopped them in their tracks in 2017? I used clause 61 of Magna Carta to seize the three lawful tiers of the state parliament. I did it in two sections. Both times, McGowan wrote back with his load of garbage saying, I'm not going to take it next time. So when I sent him another one, he did it again. Not a problem. Proved he received it. I have to prove nothing. Then in 2019, on the 7th of January, I filed a notice of seizure on the federal parliament of the three lawful tiers of the federal parliament, because there are the Australian government, they call themselves, which is a trading company, ABN and all. Now, I seize the Green Constitution and hold it under the Crown in fraud. So it has no value until they go to England and prove that it's not fraud. Did I have the authority to do it? Read Magna Carta. Yes, I do. I can do whatever it takes to correct what the government's doing when they're wrong. So can anybody. Any one of the 27 million can do this. Then I seize every act, statute, rule, regulation, order, and all those legislations ever proposed by or passed by the political parties and hold that in a state of fraud. Then I seized all the assets of this country that are hidden in these trading companies and hold that under the Crown for and on behalf of the people. And everyone says, what'd you do that for? I said, now we, the people, hold this country in adverse possession. They can't do what they think they're doing because they don't have any authority. They can't just say, I speak it into being, because then you go to Kirby, and Kirby said, no parliament, by preambular assertion, can speak an authority into being when it doesn't appear in any law. So they don't have it.
That, it doesn't have the authority because it hasn't come from the Constitution. They're just making
it up. That's correct. That's correct.
And then we're just following it. We're just following it because we're so busy, or we don't care. And they pass a law, and we go, okay, that's the law. But they actually don't. Technically, they literally are making it up, and we're just following it. And that's why these laws are illegal.
They're unlawful. I never say illegal, unlawful. Sorry.
Okay, they're unlawful. Unlawful.
They don't comply with the law. So they're unlawful. You know,
I just want to get back in the little time we've got left. When we were fighting the Kill the Bill in Melbourne, which is where we're from, we were trying to tell barristers that Dan Andrews removed habeas corpus. He has the power now to throw someone like me or you, if you're there, that he sees as a threat for some reason into a camp, which he's built, without any trial. No, you can't see a lawyer, can't see anything. You can't even appeal it if they finally let you out. And that goes against the Magna Carta. So that is completely unlawful. He has no right to do that, and the High Court should actually stop it. Isn't that what you're saying?
The High Court actually ruled in 2010, HCA 44 of 2010, Chief Justice French and the full bench ruled that the 1688 Bill of Rights, habeas corpus, and all imperial acts, including Magna Carta and all those, still apply today and must be abided by every parliament in this country. So really, the High Court's already ruled. The problem is, when you get into Susan Kiefel, who's about anti-Australian as you can get, she was sat on these cases. She sat on HCA 29 of 2009 when the full bench ruled that the courts are gathering under the sovereign. Well, they took the sovereign out. So how are they gathering under the sovereign? Which one? Bob Hawke is dead. You haven't got them, so you're finished that way. The big problem, some of the things he came out with in that case were contempt of court is an arrogant disregard for the authority and the procedure of the court. Well, the authority comes from the Constitution, the procedures in Chapter 3. None of them follow. But the interesting thing is that the full bench of the court threw out all 6 years of military cases because they were done by one person. Habeas corpus says one single judge can't sit in judgment of anybody. And as I said a few months back, where does a magistrate come from? Doesn't come out of the Constitution. The state, the letters patent for the office of governor says the governor shall select all judges and justices of the peace. Where's the magistrate? Well, the magistrate was always, until January 1st, 2004, employed on this. It's a bit hard to see. This is the Local Court Act, which stayed until from 1904 until 2004, when they brought in the Acts Amendment, Repeals Court and Legal Practice Act in this state, and did whatever they liked. They created an entity known as the state, unknown to the Constitution. That's what they did. So they're playing two states in this area designated the state. The state is the people, by the way. Now, when I went in front of Chris Miosevic in 2019, he started on all this stuff. I said, hang on, you have no jurisdiction. You have not sworn the lawful oath. Yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. You swore the one in the Magistrate Court Act. He said, yes. I said, well, the first thing is you still hold the oath to the bar. 44 of the Constitution says you can't. You can't sit. I said, but then your problem arises. The Magistrate Court Act, the oath in there says, I, Chris Miosevic, do solemnly swear I'll serve the people and the state of Western Australia. So you're serving the state and the state, or the people and the people. Which one is it? I said, I can tell you, you've disregarded the people who are the state, and you've sworn your oath to the state, which is created under Section 8 of the Acts Amendment, Repeals Court and Legal Practice Act. And he says, that's your opinion. I said, no, it's a fact of law. So you haven't sworn the oath contained in the Constitution, which you're required to take. Well, so I said, so you are sitting impersonating an officer of the Crown. That's exactly what you're doing.
I just want to read out this. One thing you can definitely understand from this is that the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Australia, 1900 UK, is lawful and supreme because it's indissolvable will of the people. Section 119 says the Commonwealth must protect the states from invasion and domestic violence. When rubber bullets were used on unarmed people in Melbourne, that was 100% domestic violence. The Commonwealth said nothing, said and did nothing. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct. And that was an act of treason and war. Thanks, George. I read what you said while you were talking. Yeah. That's absolutely 100% correct. But what they didn't say, 117 prohibits the states from raising an army. They've taken the police from being police officers, which are police constables, to being public officers, which are an army.
So this thing here, that's an army.
That's an army.
Yeah.
That's an army. And that's blatant treason against the people. So why aren't the federal police or state police arresting Dan Andrews the same way they're not arresting any other premier of any other state? Because there's no such entity in the Constitution as a premier. He's a foreman of the parliament. Is there a prime minister? No, he's the foreman of the federal parliament. Now they've got a problem with that.
Because we have to go now, if we could reconvene this for, say, next Tuesday, if you're free, or we can alternate a time, could you come back and we could continue? Alternately, we might pick another day where we could actually go a bit longer rather than squeezing it in, because my head hurts because you've got the stuff coming in. You know what I mean? And it's necessary to hear, but people need time to process what you're saying. So I'm going to make this into a podcast, and I'll send you that podcast. And to anyone listening, I'll post that podcast as well, so you can just listen out to it. And we'll post this on all our relevant platforms. If you can, yes. I suggest you download it and keep it, because it'll probably be scrubbed. But maybe I'll be in contact with you. I'll just stay in the studio while I'll play the final song. We're going to go to Tom and Wayne, I believe. It's Tuesday, right? It's Tom and Wayne, I believe. And tomorrow I'll be in Waluna. But it's been great having you on, Wayne. And I'd really like to get you back and just slow it down and also move towards solutions. What do we do? Because we are at war. And it seems to me that the war is with the people of Australia, because I see a disillusioned community wherever I go, people who feel powerless. And yet what you're saying from the Constitution, the power should all be ours. And that's the problem at the moment.
Yeah, I'd like that, because the next thing, which will take a bit of length of time, is what I did with those seizures and where they are now and what's happening with them.
Yeah, all right.
Because we actually are in England. Yeah.
So stay in the studio, everyone. So someone said I wouldn't have you back, but they're full of shit. So, it's been great. Thank you so much for coming on. This is Stu McFarlane here. He's a great mate of mine. He's one of his songs in his play. So I'm going to go out with this. And then we're going to Tom and Wayne and their show next. So tune into that. It's becoming a really important, great show. Thank you so much, brother. Stay in the studio. I'll see you in a sec. I'll be in Waluna tomorrow.
I'll make it up day by day. You say you love me like you used to. Make the world go away. Make